The House Resource Committee to order today at 2:04 p.m. We are in room 124. Today is Wednesday, April the 8th, 2015. Our members present today are Representative Johnson, Representative Josephson, Representative Herron, Representative Seaton, Representative Tarr, Representative Olson, our Vice Chair, Representative Hawker, our Co-Chair, Representative Nagiak, and I am Co-Chair, Representative Tallarico. So I'd like to let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business, and I'd also like to recognize our staff today. Our recording secretary is Julie Kohler, and our teleconference aide is Sam Greeley. Our committee aide is Gary Zepp from Representative Nagiak's office up here with us, and Julie Morris from my office is out there. If anything arises where you need anything during the committee meeting, please get their attention, and they will try and assist you. I'd like to remind everyone to please silence your cell phones during the meeting, and we are going to take up first House Bill 105. We did request from committee members that if they had amendments for House Bill 105, that we would like to have those turned in, and we do have a packet of amendments. I believe all of the committee members should have that packet available to them right now. So without waiting any further, I know we've gone through the bill and we're aware of what's currently in it, so I would like to move to the amendments, if we could.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
Amendment number one has been moved. Is there any objection?
Mr. Chairman, I'll object just for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Representative Hawker?
In. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to have reached this juncture in this bill. And if you'd indulge me just a moment, preface my comment about all of the amendments that I'll be offering today.
Please.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the indulgence. Mr. Chair, I want to assure you, my co-chair, I want to assure everyone in this committee, and I want to assure everyone in this room and everyone in the state of Alaska that I stand behind the commitment the legislature made over the recent years to dedicate efforts to providing energy cost relief to the people that live in the interior of Alaska. This has been an issue that we made a priority of, we dedicated substantial financial resources to, and it is a good public policy that we need to stay with. But Mr. Chairman, we've got a bill before us, and bills are just that. Bills are proposals of policy. And bills draw policy boxes around things. It's what we do. We want to make a policy. We, or the legislature, individual legislators, or the administration, introduce a bill so it can be discussed openly and publicly in a manner that lets us think thoroughly about it, talk about its consequences, and then decide whether or not it's possible to take. In very complicated projects like the Interior Energy Project, providing energy cost relief to the citizens of the interior of Alaska, is a very complicated thing, as we've seen. The state undertook a commitment a couple of years ago. For whatever reason, that commitment apparently has been determined unworkable, and now we're looking at redefining that commitment, how we're going to manifest that. And I have to be very careful in that one of my personal policies in approaching these sort of things is that our job as a legislature is to draw a box around the policy we want. I call it the policy box. We provide the parameters around how we wish the policy to be developed and executed. But I'm very concerned that we do not micromanage what goes on inside that policy box. Because again, how many times have we seen good efforts fail? That a great policy, but when the legislature, you know, even in our best efforts, try to micromanage inside that box, we generally have unanticipated consequences, and we have had some unfortunate consequences. So, Mr. Chairman, the amendments that I'm going to be offering today are about defining that policy box, not with messing around inside it. We are charging our agency with figuring out what goes on inside it. So I would characterize the amendments that I'm offering today as do-no-harm amendments. These are amendments to define the parameters that we want ADA and the Interior Energy Project to operate within, so that we also know we're kind of defining borders. It's, you know, like it's like raising kids. You define borders for them. You know, as long as they don't step over that border, things are all pretty good, and you let them operate inside the box. So that's really what these are, the parameters around which we'd be good policy calls on behalf of the legislature in moving forward in our continued authorization of our most sincere efforts to get energy cost relief to the folks in Interior Alaska. And so, Mr. Chairman, thank you for allowing me to preface that, because those comments apply to every amendment I have. Specifically to amendment number one, Mr. Chairman, this amendment is really about preserving the legislature's power of appropriation, truly our ultimate authority, which is to make the policy calls and to commit the state's financial resources. But before we do that, Mr. Chairman, we need to know what we are buying before we write those checks. Frankly, we need to know how many more checks that we're going to have to write before the project is over. To that end, amendment number one is an amendment that adds a legislative sanctioning requirement before ADA can access the SETS bonding authorization that was provided previously to the Fairbanks Gas Trucking Project, or the North Slope Gas Trucking Project, and the bonding authorization that remains in this bill. Mr. Speaker, I'm seeing a lot of confusion in the room. Mr. Chairman, can I have a brief at ease and figure out where I'm going wrong? Yeah,
brief at ease.
Thank you.
Call the meeting back to order.
I apologize, because I had my own packet of amendments here, and I've got a number that I wrote on it wrong. This is an amendment not about, it's really about good governance, and that is simply requiring that the project submit quarterly reports to the legislature on the progress of the project, including an ongoing financial accounting, and it also just formally acknowledge and paves the way for and provides the very specific authority for the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to request and hold hearings as necessary to review the progress. And again, this is something that, you know, we talked with any number of folks about previously, but it's simply saying that we want to be able to monitor the project process here, as well as to be able to bring folks back before us so that we can exercise our due diligence in monitoring the project.
Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm wanting to know the explanatory notes that we have regarding Amendment H.9 says that it also paves the way for the LBNA committee to hold hearings as necessary to review ADA's progress. And I'm seeing on page 1, line 9 through 21, a reporting to the legislative budget and audit. But I'm wanting to find out the extent of reporting to a briefing to legislative budget and audit is giving legislative and budget and audit authority to determine or change or do anything. I don't see that in the language, but it seems to be applied in the wording that was describing the amendment. I just want to get clarification on that from the sponsor of the amendment.
Representative
Hawker.
I will cite precisely from the amendment, if I might, sir, and that's, if requested, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority shall provide a project briefing on the Interior Energy Project to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. The amendment language is all there is. There is no more.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's what I thought, but I thought that we should get the explanation with the other. And can we also have the sponsor of the bill come forward and talk to the amendments that we're proposing?
Absolutely, we can, yes. Are there any other questions from the committee, Wilder? No? Okay, seeing none. If you could please identify yourselves for the record.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Fred Parity, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Gene Terrio, Director with the Alaska Energy Authority.
Mr. Chairman, as to the question that was raised by the representative, this amendment is straightforward, and I think it continues the ongoing and vital communication that we've been having with the legislature and this committee, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to inquire about this now because it's in a couple of amendments. The way the language is here, interior, capital I, energy project, is just sort of more broad, could be interpreted to be a little more broad than just, you know, sort of a specific project that we're working on. In the PowerPoint presentation, you know, it's sort of named as if the interior energy project is a specific thing. Does that matter at all in that language? Are you concerned about the interpretation of what that says at all?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, Gene Terrio. I don't think so, especially because this is intent language. It's not mm-hmm. written right into the codified section of the statute. Mm-hmm. The interior energy project, although it is focused on that core demand within the Fairbanks North Star borough, mm-hmm. Was always intended to serve a larger geographic area, that being sort of interior Alaska. Of course, our view is until we get the economics to work on that core demand, it's going to be that much more challenging to serve any of the communities up and down the highway system or on the river system. So we think they move together as one. Mm-hmm. First, that core demand that justifies the very expensive infrastructure, and then we will look to work the economics so that it can spread beyond the Fairbanks North Star borough.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee or comments? Representative Tarr, do you maintain your objection?
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you very much. Okay. Are there any other objections to the amendment? I'm seeing none, then. Amendment number one passes. Thank you very much. And we can move on. I will move amendment number two.
Object for explanation.
Thank you very much. It was just my intent with this amendment just to have a very clear definition in section six of absolutely what this legislation intends for us to do. I know someone else had told me they didn't think this was necessarily critical, but I thought it was a very clear to both Ada and the Resource Committee of exactly what we would be doing with this legislation. That's it. That's my explanation.
I remove my objection, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
I'll go ahead and object for discussion at this point. Can we have the sponsor of the legislation address the amendment?
Certainly.
Mr. Chairman, just before we get into the intent, I just do have a question. If we're working off of the H version of the bill, then I think perhaps instead of section 6, it should say section 5 on the H version of the bill that I have that came out of the House Energy Committee. Section 6 deals with a partially used bond authorization. And so I think on lines 6 of the amendment, both references to section 6 should be changed to section 5.
Oh, you come forward, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is Rena Delbridge, staff to Representative Hawker. I defer to the expertise of you all, but I believe that the amendment's actually drafted correctly because first you're inserting a new Section 1, which then renumbers all of the other sections, and therefore Section 5 in the H version becomes Section 6 in the amendment.
Okay. I'm sorry. It was semantics. I apologize.
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
I'm sorry. Julie Morris, staff to Representative Tallarico.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that explanation, then it is corrected, drafted correctly. If the First Amendment hadn't passed, we perhaps would have had a problem. But that'll be conveyed to the drafters.
Okay. Thank you.
Point of clarity.
Representative Hocker.
The previous amendment had no effect here. It is, each amendment stands on its own, Mr. Chair. And it would be the inserting a new bill section in this amendment that causes the shift from 5 to 6. It is this amendment stands on its own.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would just note that there's no intent to use SB 23 tools for a project other than the IEP, and this amendment is straightforward.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd remove my objection.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any other objection to amendment number 2? Seeing none, amendment number 2 is adopted. Thank you for the explanation. You always hire people smarter than you, and that was easy for me to do. So we'll move on to amendment number 3.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 3.
Object.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, amendment number 3 is the official version H.7. H.7 is an amendment about consumer protection. The amendment specifically subjects the Interior Energy Project, and if you don't allow for the purposes of this committee meeting, the use of the acronym IEP for that. This amendment subjects the IEP to rate regulation under the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. And this is done because both ADA and the Interior Gas Utility are political subdivisions of the state, and as such would be automatically exempt from rate regulation without this amendment. We have the provision in law that generally exempts these political subdivision entities from rate regulation because of the ability of citizens, because when it's a publicly owned entity, an entity that basically is operated, say, by your local city council, the public's ability to weigh in and manage the governance of that utility, which is what it's really all about. It's the public's ability to weigh in on its own governance, is done through the election process. That when the utility is really managed by, say, the city council, public having an issue with that can take it up at the next election and replace the city council. That is how the consumer is able to weigh in and protect themselves from a political management standpoint, let alone then the concerns that one has with a very complicated project like this, where we have a current situation, which is, I think we've all heard all the testimonies, incredibly confusing, and it's very uncertain what the outcome is. And the RCA, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, is just that. It's a quasi-judicial deliberative body whose responsibility it is to weigh and get all the facts right and make sure that the public is properly protected. And we've currently got involved in this IEP project. We've got a letter of intent from ADA to acquire Fairbanks Natural Gas. And while we've also heard testimony that ADA says they don't intend to become a gas company, they intend to essentially transfer that off to IGU. But we've nothing to really know what that's going to look like or how it's going to work. There is no letter of intent with IGU, to the best of my knowledge. We have not seen a contract. We have not had anything presented to us that shows us what the terms of that is. And we're affecting the lives of all those citizens in Fairbanks and North Pole who are going to be dependent upon these utilities. If ADA hands F&G off to IGU, we have no idea what the terms and costs will be, what the cost recovery is going to require, what kind of a burden that's going to be placed on the ratepayers. We have no idea who's going to operate the utility. We have absolutely, and what if the transaction falls through and ADA ends up owning it and it's going to be run by the state of Alaska? What are the intentions of ADA going to be, and what is our experience and qualifications to run a public utility? These are all questions that are out there. We all know they have to be answered in the process of making this IEP project real, but I think the magnitude of these questions and the uncertainty warrants the absolute protections for the ratepayer that could be provided by the quasi-judicial oversight of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. As we said earlier, you know, these utility customers can't weigh in and change their bosses. The utility customers can't weigh in and unelect the folks at ADA. They don't have that ability as they would have with their local utility. And IGU, as it is going to serve a number of different political subdivisions of the state, it's not in a situation where anyone could particularly, in one of those other subdivisions, weigh in and actually influence the management of IGU if this project is all handed off to them. And again, in that, this rate protection, this oversight, this regulatory oversight, this consumer protection oversight from the RCA is to only protect the ratepayers. And in this particular case of public utilities, you know, their mission through a very complicated section of the law is to ensure that the rates charged to those customers are just and reasonable. Again, that is why we have the RCA. It's why the RCA regulates most of these large utilities around the state. Well, I'll be the first to admit I don't always agree with the outcome of some of their decisions. Quite frankly, probably a good thing, because they are making the decision as a judicial body in the best interest of the regulated consumers here. In this case, again, we've also got IGU. It's a brand new utility. We have no idea who the operator is. They have no business, no cash flow. They have to incur debt for every bit of build-out they have. ADA is in the process of buying FNG, but it's somehow going to hand that off to IGU. I mean, frankly, all of the customers that are going to be affected by all of these very uncertain items need to have a protective umbrella, a protective shield, to make sure that the individuals that live in those communities have the greatest possible protection government can provide. Government's doing its best to step in and provide the energy project on one side of the coin, but we must not forget that this is going to affect the lives of real people, real ratepayers, and that we don't want our best intent over here and our best interest in trying to get less expensive gas to those folks up in that interior region to actually end up possibly costing folks more than they've got now when we start depending on something that, with all of these uncertain outcomes, and that's where I have the greatest confidence that at this time, imposing RCA regulation upon the Interior Energy Project is in the best interest of the consumers in Fairbanks and us in as policymakers in exercising our due diligence to accomplish the mission we want without inadvertently hurting the individuals affected.
Thank you. I might also mention to committee members as well, Bob Pickett from RCA is online for questions. Along with John Springsteen, Ted Leonard, Jim Hamseth, and Bob Shevchek with ADA are also online too. So any questions from the committee? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we're talking about RCA regulation, could we have Mr. Pickett address this? I presume he has the written.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Seaton, did you have a specific question? The commission has not taken a position on HB 105 or any of the amendments at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, what I was wondering about was RCA regulation of the project, the Interior Energy Project, as seen in the regulation of ADA or a state-owned entity, as well as other entities. How does that all work for the RCA, and what would be kind of the time frames in those regulatory matters?
First, we do not regulate the Interior Energy Project. We regulate certificated utilities. And at this point in time in Fairbanks, you have Fairbanks Natural Gas, which has been certificated since the mid-90s, and more recently the Interior Gas Utility. There was a contested proceeding that was concluded in December of 2013, and at this point I've got to be somewhat cautious because we do have two open docketed matters with Fairbanks Natural Gas. It is becoming economically regulated for the first time and we have an open docket with a procedural schedule and a discovery in process. And we also have an LNG purchase agreement between Harvest and Fairbanks Natural Gas. This is going to be a policy question for the legislature to make. We're a creation of the legislature through 4205, 06, and 08. And we will do whatever we're directed.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my understanding then is you're currently regulating, or you have dockets on regulation of both of the two utilities.
Correction, we have two dockets on one of the utilities. During the certification process with the IGU, during the proceedings, IGU had a list of things they wanted attached to their certificate. One of those was to be rate regulated. We pointed them to the statute 4205.711B and the fact that as a municipally owned utility, they would specifically have to petition the RCC, the RCA, to be rate regulated. And in that final order, we indicated they would need to file a tariff with us no later than April 1st of 2015 to, you know, meet their schedule, and that did not happen. So at this point, they are not economically regulated.
Do you have a follow-up, Rep. Seaton?
Thank you, and I'm just trying to get the idea of what the timetables of if we pass this amendment, what those would do on timetables. If they are not economically regulated yet, or they're because they don't have that timetable, if we would adopt this amendment and mandate that they be economically regulated, what does that do for distribution of natural gas through the system, and how is that handled?
The utility, once it decided it needed to be rate regulated, would have to make a filing with the commission. It's very challenging when you have a new utility starting from the ground up, and there's always concerns of small customer base, large capex, and just sort of how you work that out to where it doesn't become too burdensome for individual ratepayers who sign up early. There are different mechanisms to use. One case in point would be with Goat Lake Hydro in southeast Alaska in the Upper Lynn Canal back in the late 90s, created essentially what was a rate stabilization fund. Because given the number of customers and the amount of capex that they had, capital expenditures for the dam, they needed to kind of stretch that out until they had everybody online, and so it wouldn't present huge rate shock to the ratepayers. So again, it's going to be the ball's going to be in the Interior Energy Project and IGU's court as far as, you know, what their build out plan is, what kind of a case they can present, and those types of things.
Well, Representative Seaton.
Earlier, we were told that ADA and their build out and all was talking about a 40-year payback on the distribution system. Now, can that, I know in Homer we were, I think, a 10-year, so I'm trying to figure out whether that fits in with the RCA's guidelines, or how does that, do we have...
I'm talking about a, would you rephrase, you said a 40-year build-out?
A 4-year payback, I think, is what okay. They were talking on the build-out of the pipe distribution system.
I don't see that as an issue because different utilities have different debt structures, and you can look at any of the bigger ones, and they'll probably have 10 to 15 different tranches of debt, all at different terms and interest rates, and some as long as 30 years.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Representative Tarr, and then Rep. Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pickett, just in thinking about this and whether this would in fact be a consumer protection measure, could the opposite be true, just based on the financing, that it could turn out that, in fact, the it would result in the early payers paying more because the way the expenses would be, there would be so many for the early part of the project, and so, you know, you wouldn't be able to more spread those expenses out more evenly?
through the chair, Representative Tarr, that was what I was referring to at the Rate Stabilization Fund. In some fashion, the rates for the early people who sign up are going to need to be stabilized, either through some ADA mechanism and through the loan proceeds, or through some formalized rate stabilization fund, which in the case of an entity that has a capital structure of 100% debt, would be from the proceeds. And it would just be, how long do you stretch that out? What amount? And are your projections for the build-out realistic? And this type of thing. No, but you're exactly right. It's not reasonable to expect that, because you won't get people to sign up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative Josephson.
I think that was essentially what I was going to ask as well, Mr. Chairman. So,
all right. Representative Olson.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Chairman Pickett, has there been any dialogue between the AGC board and the RCA commissioners, or even possibly an open docket regarding whether or not the RCA would have potential jurisdiction over IGA?
At this point, the RCA does not have jurisdiction over Interior Gas. And I think the statute is quite clear on that, and they have made no election to have the RCA exercise any jurisdiction. And as I said, that was somewhat different than what the representations were during the contested hearing, but that's certainly within the right of IGU and the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Actually, I probably didn't make myself clear. Was there any dialogue between the RCA and its commissioners and AGDC's board on that issue?
AGDC or ADIS?
AGDC.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Sponsors, make a comment.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, with great respect, I'd like to voice some possible concerns with this amendment. And they rest really in the good faith all of us have as we work to make this project work. And it's found in the existing statute on line 9 before you, where it says the governing body of a political subdivision may elect to be subject to this chapter. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is the owner of the Interior Gas Utility. They have the ability under existing statute to seek rate regulation if it's in the best interest of their taxpayers and citizens. The RCA docket that's been referred to was adjudicated on December 20th, 2013, and it states specifically that the governing body of a political subdivision may subject itself to regulation under 42.05. The statute states that an election to be subject to AS 42.05 must be made by the governing body of the subdivision. In the current instance, the governing body is FNSB Assembly. No ordinance has been passed by FNSB. Therefore, the operation of the statute, IGU, is exempt from regulation at this point in time. And the reason that's worth considering is we're offering state legislative protection to local government who already holds the power to provide that protection within their hands. The good representative opened his comment noting that the political subdivision retains the ability to control its utility rates. That remains true. They have the ability to control the IGU, and I believe that that government governs best. It governs closest to the problem at hand. The potential then exists. The concerns I would raise with the amendment are that it treats the natural gas distribution system in Fairbanks North Star Borough differently than the rest of the state, because that statutory provision that provides for the local borough assembly to elect this option exists and exists for them today and will still exist into the future. I worry that we're adding a complicated regulatory process through the RCA when, in fact, as you do start up this utility, you've got the issue of patient capital and low number of customers and long-term high capital costs at the beginning. So you just put that through another filter with the RCA when, in fact, local government's quite well positioned to handle it. So I think that the request for RCA regulation is within the authority of the existing statute and the existing authority of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, and so the question that's been raised is in fact addressed in the current configuration.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is really for members of this committee or the panel. Can someone remind me how Senate Bill 23 in 2013 treated this question? The trucking scheme that we all passed nearly unanimously.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hawker.
I just stated by my recollection, it simply authorized the investment in that project and did not, since it was never the subject of a full legislative process where we go through proposing policy and legislation such as this, it was never fully vetted, and the SB 23 amendment was silent on that matter.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I get
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, could I add a point that just struck me in finishing the apologies for interrupting?
Sure.
The pre-com. And SB 23 also did not contemplate the state through a state agency owning a public utility, as in ADA owning a company like FNG.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm somewhat disturbed by this because I'm afraid that, you know, we've got a project that we've been trying to get an interior gas project going to supply the interior on a fairly rapid basis, and it appears from what I'm hearing from the RCA and just looking at the complexity, this could put a big damper on being able to move forward, because you're going to have some kind of a sunken fund or something to in some way assure ratepayers that, you know, they're not going to be artificially paying more early on, because with the utility having 100% debt, they don't have any capitalization to go back on. So it's going to be the income that they get from sales. And if that's your sunken fund, you don't have any sunken fund, because, you know, the payments are going to have to come in for those rates, and so it's not like you have a big base where you can be taking off a little. And I really don't understand this process well. If there, I'm going to need some more information from Fairbanks, from other folks, of how they could structure this so that it would work and not delay the project, because it seems to me that injecting another entity into the middle might actually not serve our purposes of what we proposed in the interior energy project to accelerate a more reasonable cost energy to the interior.
Any other questions or comments? I wonder, Mr. Pickett, do you have any comment on that particularly?
No, not directly. I mean, in some fashion, there's going to be some mechanism to mitigate rate shock, whether that be through a fund that is originally funded through loan proceeds or some mechanism that ADA, in the absence of any RCA involvement, is going to have to figure out.
Thank you. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Pickett, the rate stabilization fund that you're speaking of, that would be only if this amendment went through, and that would be a mechanism used through RCA regulation?
That would be a potential mechanism to look at. But again, we would have to look at the entire package and, you know, how ADA has structured the financing deal and just what is feasible and what's not.
Okay. And a follow-up?
Thank
you, Mr. Chairman. And does the possibility exist then through that process that for whatever economic evaluation takes place, that would be disallowed, or is there some, you know, way that the process would get you to a point where the RCA would say no to that because the financing was too long-term or not enough people or some other factor that wouldn't show enough stability, I guess is what I'm trying to ask?
The commission has already made its finding in terms of the CPCN, in terms of fit, willingness, and ability. And a big part of that was the commitment the legislature had made through SB 23, and also the representations made by the Fairbanks North Star Borough, that at the end of the day, they realized they were the owner of the utility, and they would do what they needed to do to make this a success. Now, ADA obviously has a disproportionate influence on this because they're going to be the funding source. And they're going to lay out the terms of the financing, when it's supposed to be paid back, or what portion may be soft or not as soft. And so they're going to be a major driver in this whole thing, regardless of which way it goes with the regulatory part.
Thank you.
Representative Seaton.
Yeah, and of course, these are all interlocking parts or interwoven parts, but if we also come in and say that we have to have legislative approval before we could have ADA offering that, and the interaction with the legislature approval and ADA's backing and the RCA, I'm just not sure how complicated it gets.
Well, as representative through the chair, as Representative Hawker indicated earlier, it seems like you want to kind of set the general parameters and give the maximum flexibility to ADA to make sure this can happen.
Mr. Parody, did you have a
Mr.
comment?
Chairman, this is a very interesting discussion. I did want to note that, and just as food for thought, that adding RCA to the process in a mandatory way, it's an elective way right now, adds regulatory complexity to it. And as was noted in the introduction to the amendment, RCA is itself a quasi-judicial body, and the handling of filings and cases before that body can in and of themselves cost a substantial sum of money. It's not uncommon for filing processes to take $1 million to work your way through.
Any other further comments or questions from
Representative Josephson? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mr. Pickett, the rate stabilization fund that you used in the Upper Lynn Canal, is that within the power of RCA to establish now, or is that something that this bill should address?
I'm not sure the bill should address that, but that is something in with the Alaska Power Company that was established, as I said, back in late 90s, early 2000, for a fixed period of time to mitigate rate shock as that Goat Lake Hydro project came online with the submarine cables for Haines and Skagway.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Representative Hawker?
Can I wrap up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
And thank you. I really have enjoyed the discussion we've had and hearing all sides of this, but I think all of the dialogue that I have heard here absolutely points out to me how essential it is that we provide the consumer protection for the individuals who will end up having to one day pay rates from this project. Sincerely, rate regulation in this case provides nothing more than protections of Alaska's citizens against bad management practices, ill-advised management practices, or simply mistakes on behalf of a dominant entity that's providing the funding, managing the process, literally going out and purchasing components of it that are going to be assembled by a single state agency. I'm not so sure that I am comfortable with a monopolistic state agency involved here without some sort of a protective umbrella, a very competent protective umbrella for the citizens that will be affected. And Mr. Chair, we have heard that initially IGU wanted to be rate regulated, but then they discovered they didn't have to file, so they didn't. We've heard that the LNG purchase agreement that ADA is undertaking at the moment with their purchase of the Fairbanks natural gas distribution system is itself before the RCA challenged by the Attorney General of the State of Alaska for fear that it will result in monopolistic control of the supply and distribution of energy and requires an antitrust review. That's why we have the RCA, to protect people. Mr. Chair, we've also heard that FNG has an application in process to become rate regulated for the first time. I can assure you, sitting in this chair and my 13 years in the legislature, I have heard more than my share of complaints from the citizens that are currently the consumers of FNG about what they felt were predatory pricing practices by that entity. They wanted, those consumers have been asking for rate regulation to protect themselves from, so there was in fact a judicial agency who looked to see if those costs were just and reasonable. Respectfully, we're not treating anyone differently here. we are treating, frankly, everyone is getting treated the same in this process. We want specifically to be sure that we have this outside umbrella agency to protect those people, because we heard this the story about rate stabilization. We have no assurity whatsoever that ADA is going to engineer a rate stabilization agreement to protect customers. We know for a fact that the initial customers of FNG are going to be paying $15 an MCF for gas at City Gate if the transaction to purchase Pentex goes through. $15 to City Gate. We've been told that it is unacceptable for anything less than $15 at the burner tip for everybody else in the community with this ADA build-out continuing. That's discriminatory. That's why we need the RCA to protect those initial consumers against an unfair practice that is perpetrated unintentionally upon them, as somebody who comes later to the game with all the state subsidies involved gets cheaper gas, while at the same time the state is locking in those earlier customers to more expensive gas. Sincerely, again, but with respect here, it is all of these complications, and Representative Seaton said he didn't want anything complicated. Respectfully, this is complicated. This is hugely complicated, and that's why we need a judicial agency who can always sort out these details and make sure that the decisions ultimately are in the best interest of those consumers. And Mr. Chair, I really hope the committee will join me in passing this amendment, and I thank you for the time you've granted me to talk about it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could we have a 2 to 3 minute at ease?
Go at ease for 2 minutes. Call a meeting of the House Resource Committee back to order at about 2:58. And
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Josephson.
I know that we are pressed and have a lot to do today and between now and the end of session, but would you invite the testimony of either the City of Fairbanks or the Borough Mayor so we could get their perspective on this?
I was trying to work our way through these amendments. Sure. I don't think it's wise to delay the amendments at all.
Okay.
But we do have the both the City of Fairbanks Mayor, and I should recognize him, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor is here, and the Mayor Luke Hopkins and Mayor John Eberhardt, the City of Fairbanks Mayor. I would certainly, I think I might defer to the sponsors if they would like comments from those two folks.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. There's
yes.
an amendment on the desk.
There is. You're correct, Representative Hawker. And we already did a wrap-up on that. So what I would like to ask is the objection still maintained. Representative Seaton, I believe it was your objection.
Yes,
the objection is maintained.
It is.
All right, very good. Well, we will then, we're working off of our committee substitute for House Bill 105, Amendment Number 3, for the record. And if I could, I would like to ask the Secretary to call the roll for Amendment Number 3.
Okay, roll call on Amendment 3. Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Tarr?
No.
Representative Herron?
Yes.
Representative Hawker?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Olson?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
No.
Co-Chair Nagia?
Yes.
Co-Chair Tallarico?
Yes.
6 yay, 3 nay.
Thank you. And moving on, our next one, we have Amendment Number 4. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Amendment Number 4. That is H.6.
Object for discussion.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am looking at this as aligning to, or we've been talking about allowing options to look at the Interior Energy Project, and one of those is gas from Cook Inlet. It could, my understanding is there's a high probability that gas through a small diameter pipeline from Cook Inlet to Fairbanks would be cheaper than, especially in the long term, than liquefying natural gas and trucking it or or getting it up and having ISO containers or all of those kind of things. So what I wanted to do is make sure that, first of all, there was the ability to look at a small diameter pipeline going north from Cook Inlet to supply interior as a cheaper option for getting natural gas. But then also on line 13 of the amendment, you can see it's propane or propane air mixture is added in there as well. And the reason for that is that we have the petroleum economists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks have presented to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee that a propane hydrotrain type operation coming out of Prince Rupert could deliver propane cheaper than we could get liquefied, than we could get way cheaper than liquefied natural gas, but possibly cheaper than natural gas pipeline. And looking at, depending upon the capitalization time, it was looked at $11 to $15. There is a by Dr. Reynolds, a March 24th Daily News minor editorial in which they're talking about $12 per 1,000 cubic feet natural gas at the North Pole Terminal, or $16 at burner tip. So it's in the range that we should be at least evaluating. And looking at that, propane air mixture, of course, is used in the regular gas lines with the natural gas burner tips, so that you can switch out back and forth between propane air mixture and natural gas without having to do any modifications. But the big thing is, if you had propane, you would then be able to supply those that are not in the density of population that's high enough to be on a pipeline system, but you would be able to supply cheaper energy there and throughout interior Alaska. So I think that's what this is brought forward to make sure that the interior energy project is not just limiting itself to one way to lower the economics of heat energy to Alaska, and it can also be burned in the generators and other things as well.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee? Don't see any. Sponsors have a comment?
Mr. Chairman, briefly, the amendment incorporates changes that we've seen in the Senate already and adds propane as an alternative energy source, which alternatives are useful, and we appreciate the amendment.
Anything further from the committee? Is the objection maintained?
No, Mr. Chair.
No. Any other objection? Seeing none, amendment number 4 is adopted. We will move to amendment number 5.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hawker.
I move amendment number 5.
Object.
There's an objection. Representative Hawker.
Mr. Chair, for the record, this is version H.8. Mr. Chair, this amendment is about us making a policy call at the state that says we do not wish ADA to become a state-owned oil and gas company. That's really where we're drawing the line here. The amendment requires legislative approval to be granted before ADA can purchase or acquire natural gas reserves or leases, or become a working interest owner of a natural gas lease. Mr. Chair, specifically, we're amending Alaska Statute 44.88.170, and this is a catch-all section in the ADA statutes, the authorizing statutes related to ADA's purchase of projects and entering into various leases. And in the oil and gas leasing is essentially a leasing activity. Our legal drafters felt this was the best section in which to place this. The amendment specifically requires that the legislature provide its approval before the ADA can purchase or acquire gas reserves or become a working interest owner in these leases. In
The reason for this is we have heard repeatedly over past several months about folks in the administration going and talking with energy producing companies, E&P companies in the Cook Inlets about acquiring their gas reserves in the ground. We've known that folks in the administration have asked those entities about becoming a working interest owner in order to establish a gas supply for the IEP. I know I've had conversations that there's some of this has gone on without the knowledge of the folks at ADA. I think we have two different sides of the administrative government working on the same project, but not necessarily in coordination. You know, and maybe it's a good thing for IEP to go acquire working interests in the Cook Inlet. It might be, but I think we ought to be making a policy call here today that says not until, if you want to do that, come tell us about us and ask for permission. That would be a wholesale change of state policy for the state to establish a essentially a state-owned oil company, a national oil and gas company. That decision would not, we would not want to enter into that level of change in our philosophy of managing our resources in this state without a great deal of separate deliberation and consideration. You know, as far as the IEP project itself goes, you know, we've got three utilities on the North Slope, or excuse me, three utilities in the interior that are actively involved in this. We've got Golden Valley, IGU, and FNG, and possibly ADA adding to that. And there is nothing in this amendment and nothing in the statute that prohibits those entities from working together, banding together, particularly the utilities themselves, banding together to look at doing collaborative buying, to negotiate the best possible agreements they can receive, just like all the other utilities in the state that have to go procure gas from the Cook Inlet. You know, Homer Electric has to get its gas from the Cook Inlet, has to come stand on its own and compete against the other entities. NSTAR, my the company that I represent, other, you know, any utility in South Central Alaska that wants to use Cook Inlet natural gas has to go and negotiate in the open market to secure that gas. I'm really not sure it's a good idea that we allow the state, with its heavy hand of regulation and the ability to punish entities that do not do what the state tells it to be able to step in and have the state competing against the other utilities of the state on behalf of certain other utilities. So I think we have to worry about that. It's really not a good business idea to let the let an activity start by moving into the ownership of oil and gas leases in the Cook Inlet that could potentially, when the state starts entering into that market and bringing to bear its regulatory authorities, its the authorities on permitting activities, on development activities, that we really threaten the stability of what is truly a very delicate market right now. 2 years ago, we didn't have enough gas in the Cook Inlet for anything. Now we appear to have more, but I think we're going to be very careful about letting the state weigh in too hard on that one. So, Mr. Chair, I would ask that we, at this time, provide the policy box for our folks at ADA that say we would prefer them not to be a state-owned oil company until they bring a specific proposal to us for specific review and evaluation. And I ask support for this amendment.
Thank you. Committee, questions or comments from the committee?
Yes.
Representative Josephson and then Representative
Aaron. Thank you. I guess under discussion, haven't we already seen that ADA's been involved with our say-so in the Mustang field in terms of backing reserves there and using its collateral for that purpose? Hasn't ADA already dipped its feet into this water a little bit with our authority?
Mm-hmm. Representative Hawker.
And Mr. Chair, I would respond to the question from the representative that ADA has provided, as we have directed them to, financial incentives to help the private sector develop their own activities, including they have provided support for, I could dig it out here, but G15-01, their work in support of Erie in the Cook Inlet. But it's different in that we are providing the support for private sector development
as opposed to the state stepping in and owning the resource itself and becoming part of an E&P, a directly part of an E&P activity.
Like AGDC is. I mean, is that what you mean? That
no, with all respect, no, AG, with, in response to the speaker, AGDC has absolutely nothing to do with being an E&P company.
I understand that, but it is direct ownership share by a state agency, isn't it?
Not of the natural resource.
Representative Herron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess to the broad subject of a subnational oil company, could we ask the commissioner to comment on that? Because I do have a fear of that we, in essence, would become a subnational oil company.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, representative, I have never heard a whisper of conversation in ADA regarding becoming an oil and gas company. I simply don't believe that has got any traction, if you will, as a workable idea. The magnitude of that is pretty mind-boggling. But I would note that ADA does have a concern with this amendment because it potentially impacts other projects and has unintended consequences. And to address that, Mr. John Springsteen, the new director of ADA, is online, if you would refer to him.
Mr. Springsteen?
Yes, for the record, my name is John Springsteen. I was appointed executive director of ADA on March 16th of this year. To the committee, respectfully, I offer the following. I'm concerned the amendment would disrupt ADA's ability to do what the legislature intends ADA to do to support resource development in the state. I believe it would create a hurdle to financing independent, small, and medium-sized oil and gas developers. And when ADA offers financing to these developers, reserves and working interests are often a portion of the security and collateral for the financing.
Any other questions or comments? I may be a little confused. I'd like to provide a comment. I really think this is directed at direct ownership and not financing. In other words, your name is on the title, so to speak. And I see a huge difference between providing the actual collateral to get financing and being the outright owner. Maybe I'm reading it all wrong, but any comment on that?
Yes, sir, through the chair. I think it's the, in particular, the phrase, become a working interest owner of a natural gas lease, where often we are provided security and collateral in the form of if there's not performance on the financing, that we would then, you know, as a fact of a default or non-performance, become a working interest owner of natural gas lease, since that's a security or collateral that's offered.
Representative Hawker?
And just in point of debate, I can appreciate the argument for the ability to seek the most, to perfect the greatest claim on the collateral of an entity we are supporting, but I don't see, as we heard testified, ADA has no intentions whatsoever of becoming a, and we've heard it testified before, which is why this amendment should not be a great concern, because those collateral agreements, I would imagine, could be structured so that should it be necessary to foreclose on that collateral, it could go back to the sovereign where it really does belong, not in the hands of ADA, but that those resources should go back to the state itself, to the Department of Natural Resources Management and Control. Now, if we, this is again why the language in this amendment specifically says, unless the authorities obtain legislative approval, this is where if ADA wishes to establish a situation where they can accede to working ownership rights in active E&P development, I think they do need to bring a specific proposal back to us to discuss on its merits, which is exactly why we should pass this amendment.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Parody, and then we'll go to Representative Tarr.
This is an interesting discussion, and the representative's comments are well-founded, that on its plain face, the issue is not material, except that I think there is substantial concern with the language becoming a working interest owner of a natural gas lease. It has unintended consequences to ADA's routine operations as directed by the legislature in the context of financing. And the example that I was given was the Mustang Operations Center, and perhaps Mr. Springsteen could elaborate further on the collateral and its collection.
Representative Tarr and then Representative Hawker. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And on that same point, I guess I wanted to hear a response either from the department or Mr. Springsteen with the suggestion that in a default situation, then the resource should go back to the sovereign, which would be the state. But that would leave ADA in a position of, you know, an unpaid debt that you would need to find some way to pay for. And so how would that issue be resolved under circumstances such as what's suggested there?
Mr. Chairman, if I might defer to Mr. Springsteen or Mr. Leonard.
Yeah, through the chair, I agree. There would need to be some provision that ADA would be whole in this financing arrangement with the borrower. I would defer to James Hemsath, who's in the room, the Director of Project Development and Asset Management, for any detail related to the Mustang opportunity.
For the record, Mr. Chair, this is Jim Hemsath, Director of Project Development and Asset Management. We have the organization responsible and have done the deal with Brookstrain Petroleum as it relates to Mustang. ADA has, through its LLC in partnership with CES Singapore Corporation, a 20% working interest in the Mustang field. That working interest is important to us in two ways. One is collateral has been discussed, but it also defines a very specific stream of revenue that we're using for our return of revenues for the ownership or the leasing of the operating facility, the operating company, Brooks Range. With regard to the working interest owner, as we put a lien, or which a working interest owner is an ownership or a lien on a field, those have to be perfected. You're not halfway in. You're either a working interest owner or you're not. You're not a working interest owner only in the case if something happens in default. That negates the security, that negates the collateral. Quite frankly, the Department of Natural Resources doesn't like it. We lost almost 2 months in our project schedule this year with DNR as we perfected the working interest ownership with ADA. They're very, very particular on it, and they don't like halfway things. So that aspect of working interest owners is very, very critical to us in terms of not only collateral on security on a deal, but also in identifying, if necessary, revenue streams and where they're coming from. I just might also comment that ADA's investment and our ability to have this kind of collateral in Mustang specifically, our $70 million of investment leveraged almost $700 million of investment in that field that simply would not have taken place if ADA hadn't been involved, and that aspect of collateral and working interest ownership was a key component of that deal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I very much understand, believe me, I do understand contracts, and I understand where you're going to at this point. The issue you have specifically identified here, the working interest at Mustang, is a, you know, it is, again, it's an interesting conundrum here. As a maker of this amendment, I absolutely believe it remains absolutely, essentially critical that we tell the elements that have been out trying to negotiate in-place resources in Cook Inlet for the IEP project that this is not something that we will enter into without further discussion by the legislature. I recognize the concerns have been pointed out with Mustang, and I would I still believe we should pass this amendment as it is, but I will absolutely commit to working with the folks at ADA as this bill moves through its next committee and onto the floor to find a further amendment that can relieve the concerns that were raised by ADA today with regards to financing and working within projects in the North Slope in the manner we've been discussing.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to the concerns raised by a couple of the ADA individuals here, the timing, I think, is a concern because we're essentially, you know, putting ADA in a position, particularly on this project, where if things go as planned or if we finish on time, you know, they've got this 8-month interval during which time, you know, that this might hinder their ability to move forward on such an important project. And then, you know, wait for us to come back to the legislature. Of course, there could be other important items and get pushed out even further. And I guess, you know, in thinking about some of the other projects we've worked on, I'm just wondering, you know, what kind of that, if that kind of time delay in the financing world could cause, you know, some of those things to fall through, right? If that would be add uncertainty that would make, you know, it make it people feel uncomfortable about the project, or, you know, because there'd be no guarantee that the legislature would give approval, so then why would this other, you know, investor want to be a part of a project subject to this, you know, political fight that might happen later and the timing? And I guess it just, in my understanding, this hasn't been the expectation for ADA's activities related to other projects, so this would be a new kind of limitation on their ability to go forward, and so I just wonder if they could comment on that so I can understand that part better.
Mr. Chairman, I think I would simply note that timing is of concern and will come up again when we discuss Amendment 6.
Representative Nagyok and then Representative Z.
I think what we're doing here today is protecting the interests of the state of Alaska. I mean, that's our job, is to listen to what the administration is saying, what they're doing, and they got it on paper. Now we're here after we saw what's going on. That's part of the process. So we need to understand exactly what we're getting ourselves into, and the state too. I mean, our administration. So it's a process that's, you know, going to continue until we get this thing right. And we're going to continue to do this. We must protect ourselves from both the administrative side and from the legislative side. And if we didn't have these amendments and we didn't discuss them, we would be derelict in our duty. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm supportive of the idea of not acquiring gas reserves. I'm uncomfortable passing an amendment that we know has collateral damage, we might say, on the ability of ADA to do other things. So I would hope what we would do is get this amendment drafted up in the format that would have all the particulars in it, and then pass it along, because I think that it will pass in the other forums as it goes through. But we would be voting on the amendment that did not curtail what we've asked ADA to do, like with Mustang and others. And so I would hope that we would prepare the full amendment that's integrated, and then have that to work on at the time, because I don't think it's the time critical now.
Representative Joseph, so thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I think that ADA's officials have made the case that there's direct linkage between the words working interest owner of a natural gas lease and their security and collateral attached to those, that working interest, and that this is a resource development issue when you sort of break that clause out and remove it, that this is what they do, just as we have royalty relief. We saw that with Kalis last fall. There are different mechanisms that are used to foster oil and gas development. I think if there was a period full stop after or a gas lease on line 11, the amendment would make some sense, but I can't support it because of that, because it doesn't have that.
Any other comments from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I just might offer to the committee and the maker of the amendment, regardless of the outcome here, we'd be glad to work to vet the language. What I would like to not have happen is to lose another period of time as we move to the close of the session. So whether it's withdraw this amendment, redraft it, and bring it in another form, or adopt it and fix it, I leave that to your legislative discretion, although in my legislative experience, it's usually best to get it right.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, this bill does have another committee referral.
It does.
And that's the Rules Committee, and I'm not bashful about fixing legislation and problems in that committee, so I want to offer that up.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Any further discussion? Z. The objection maintained.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, because of the problems that have been brought up, but, you know, it sounds like we have an opportunity to maybe rework the wording, so I don't know if the maker of the amendment has any comment on that.
In wrap-up?
Yes, please.
In wrap-up, again, I've heard, I think that this committee needs to put on the record our absolute statement about not acquiring assets in the Cook Inlet through either leasing or working interest ownership to support the IEP project. We've all heard in testimony here, we've heard our rules chair say that he will not let this bill out of the rules committee without making sure that the issue is fixed to the satisfaction of ADA. There are one, two, three, four, a majority of the rules committee sitting here on this committee. I think we can all rest assured that this will be resolved before it goes out. In the interest of expediency, as we've heard asked, if we pass this amendment today with that commitment to keep working it through, which is a certainly a time-honored tradition of this legislature, that I can assure the folks at ADA that we will work and have this issue resolved before the bill ever saw the floor.
Representative Johnson?
I'd also like to point out that today we went under the 24-hour rule, so time is not an issue.
Thank you. So the objection is maintained?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not on the Rules Committee, and so I won't have an opportunity to weigh in on that, although I trust that people are, you know, serious in their commitments. So I'll maintain my objection because I won't have an opportunity to otherwise weigh in on that.
Thank you. So for Amendment Number 5 to Committee Substitute for House Bill 105, I would like to ask the Recording Secretary to call the roll.
Amendment 5, Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative Tarr.
No.
Representative Herron.
Yes.
Representative Hawker.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Yes.
Co-Chair Nagia.
Yes.
Co-Chair Tallarico.
Yes.
6 yea, 3 nay.
Thank you. The Amendment Number 5 passes. We'll move on to Amendment Number 6. Representative Hawker?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move Amendment Number 6.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you. Representative Hawker?
Mr. Chair, and I would note for the record, this is version H.4. This would be the amendment that I had misnumbered earlier. This amendment, H.4, is really the amendment that is about our maintaining power of appropriation and wanting to know exactly what we are buying before we write the check, and even more importantly, how many more checks we're going to have to write after we write the first check. The amendment specifically adds a legislative sanctioning requirement before ADA can access the SETS bonding authorization provided in the bill. The amendment makes no change in the authority for ADA to move forward with the SETS funded projects. It simply says that because we've had such a long discussion here about not knowing what's involved, so many unknowns, and everything from, as we've talked about, from regulatory authority, rate protection, literally ownership, security interests, I mean every single issue that is out there yet to be resolved, that's something I would like to have that project plan brought back to us for our approval. And that's what's asked here, is that ADA develop a project plan before the project can go forward. And that project plan must receive legislative approval of the plan, which I point out this is really very much as we did with the original project plan for AGDC. We said go get a plan, bring it back to the legislature for further evaluation, and then we make our commitment. And we note three things in this amendment that the plan must include. This is not, in legislative drafting parlance, this is not limited to these things, but it includes these things for certain, and that's the source of the gas, cost of the project, and the price for that gas under the project for the utilities in Fairbanks before distribution to the consumers. So we have some really sound bases to make sure we're meeting that absolute demand that we know this is a cost, consumer cost-driven project, and I think we'd like to know we can make that decision and that judgment about having met that cost objective before we invest more. You know, I'd kind of respectively offer, we've spent over $12 million on the North Slope that's going to either have to be written off or is in one way or another try to recover some of the fixed cost of assets up there. We might have been able to avoid that $12 million write-off if we'd have had a sanctioning requirement the first time around that had a project plan brought before the legislature to consider before we started spending that $12 million. We've also heard, and I say, and it's very important to me that we have a project that goes forward that meets the price expectancy, the price demand the community has insisted upon. I also want to know how many more checks we're going to have to write to accomplish that. We heard testimony in our last meeting that truly this money is the tip of the iceberg, that there will be a great deal more government support needed to make this project work and bring in gas to all consumers at the price that is the price hurdle, the price objective here. I personally, as a legislator, I am absolutely committed to helping the folks in Fairbanks. I think we need to be sure that we are helping the folks in Fairbanks, and we are working to make the proper decisions here, and that we don't fall victim to having an agency that wants a project for a project's sake that does not accomplish the goals in which we, the legislature, want to establish as policy direction for it. Key point here, I don't want to micromanage the process. It'd be way too easy for us to say we want this little thing, and that's wrong. We want to provide that policy box, let Ada go out, put this thing together, come back and talk to us. You know, we had testimony earlier on in the year about Ada spending $700,000 to study alternatives, and then they were going to have some decision-making points. I'd kind of like to see those alternatives in the choices that we do have before we embark upon authorizing the spending of hundreds of millions of dollars. But that, Mr. Chair, I would ask us to support this amendment.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Mr. Chair, this, I suppose, is the amendment that gives me the greatest concern. There are a number of things here that concern me. First of all, I would say it's difficult for any of us. There's danger in any of us being a purist and saying, geez, we always want to monitor this sort of expenditure, or we're always going to be laissez-faire, hands-off. We trust in the authority. You know, we have to do, people say, well, you didn't do that last year. Well, some of this has to be ad hoc, and I understand that, particularly with our fiscal situation. So I understand that, and Ada should expect there would be more scrutiny. But, you know, relative to SB 23, that was the previous administration's concept. It wasn't this administration's. It didn't work, and Ada did the responsible thing and said, we can't get there at the right burner tip price. We're backing away from that completely. We're abandoning that, in fact. I don't know what the alternative is. If we believe in natural gas in the interior, we want to stop the non-attainment problem. We want to keep an economy going there so people aren't fleeing the city and the borough for lack of ability to stay there. I haven't heard any other than propane, and that's a great alternative. I haven't heard anything that you know, are we going to get it from the Bering Sea coast? I mean, we're looking at Cook Inlet, pending a large gas line. And I don't think, you know, the comparison was made to AGDC and AKLNG. That's up to a $65 billion project. It's a very different kind of thing. You know, the question about lost money on the North Slope with the LNG trucking, boy, if we go down that road, it's a real issue. And I do think when it comes to these mega projects, we need a better system to be able to put the brakes on before the money goes out the door. There's no question about that. But if we're going to have a discussion about lost and sunk costs, we'd be here all day. Because just in my 3 years here, I see so much that has been spent, and some of us feel it would have been wiser spent in a classroom, for example. But the other thing is, relative to the costs, I think Ada is going to hear from the consumer, just as they did with the LNG trucking. They'll let us know, this too is problematic. You know, I'm lucky to live in a community where there's a fair amount of subsidizing, either real or effective subsidizing of my natural gas. I mean, we don't tax gas in the Cook Inlet, as for one point. So I'm worried that we're hamstringing this agency. And then the other concern, of course, is What if they, you know, it's they determine April 20th next year that they've got the package together, but we've adjourned? What then? And so I think this is too limiting.
Any other discussion? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think my comments are somewhat similar to Representative Josephson. I remember the other day when we were looking at the PowerPoint, you know, there it's a phased approach similar to what we talk about with the gas line project. And, you know, there, through each step, you know, there's a no-go or go decision, and they were able to use this phased approach to get to that final phase and be able to make the no-go decision on that. And in other projects that we've worked on, we haven't expected that kind of work to be done without any, you know, any dollars being spent. So, you know, I, you know, just as the previous speaker, think it's a real shame and a criminal almost in some cases of all the money that's been spent on projects that will not go forward. And especially in times like we have now, and we're really looking for dollars from some of our important priorities. At the same time, we did authorize originally, I want to say it was $250 million, I think, for the project. And, you know, if the $12 million what was spent to get to the decision point, we didn't eat up too much of that, which is good. But I just, I'm not sure that they'll be able to really act effectively, because in addition to the previous amendment that said legislative approval, now this is a second piece of legislative approval, not necessarily at the same time. And, you know, just looking at the situation in Fairbanks and in the interior right now with positions lost potentially through the university, potential BRAC closure positions lost, you know, could be thousands of people losing jobs in that area, the already high energy prices. I just, you know, I'm not a Fairbanks person, but I fear that that is a town that's about to collapse, that it's an area that will not survive, and that any unnecessary delay just means that's going to happen sooner. And I, you know, from a statewide perspective, have great concern about that. And it's something I've been hearing about for years of people talking about, you know, paying as much as the mortgage for their annual or their monthly heating costs. And if that were the case in Anchorage, I would not be able to afford to live where I do. I just simply couldn't afford it. So, you know, I appreciate that we want to have a you know, oversight on what's happening and be mindful of the dollars that are spent. But, you know, if this pushes this out a year or more, in addition to what was just adopted, you know, and the timing of those two different things, you know, I just fear the interior won't survive.
Representative Nagyak, and I just want to remind the committee, we've got about four or five more minutes today. It's fully my intention to try and move this bill today. I'm pretty sure this bill will not move without these amendments. So I want everyone to be aware of that. I think there's an issue there that we should talk about. We've got two more committees of referral after us, so just so that you're all aware of that. Representative Nagyak.
We need a lot of institutional knowledge within the building here. I mean, you know, it's not as if there's people here who don't know what they have going on. They've been doing it for years. And we do. These people on weekend draw on that experience, you know, and so we can do a lot of this stuff and not have to worry about we're doing something wrong. And that's those people who have been going on for a long time and use that experience to, and knowledge to help us get through this process. And, you know, those of us who have been in this in natural resource issues have been through a lot. There's a lot of us who have knowledge, and we have it right here. And I'm sure in the back, wherever, we can draw on a lot of that stuff, a lot of that experience. And, you know, we need to do things the right way by working, by getting all this knowledge. And then it's always good to argue, or, you know, it's always good to have different points of view. You know, unless you just keep your mouth shut, you won't ever get that. Thank you.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I kind of look at number one here, kind of two blocks us with the previous amendment. I'm not sure how you go out and negotiate to get natural gas if you can't have the collateral, use it as collateral, or you can't use a working interest ownership to have a source of revenue on that gas. Maybe you can just go and get a contract. However, you can't offer a contract because first you have to come back to the legislature to get approval of the program. So I just wanted to say that I think that there's, as this goes to rules, I hope that the things get adjusted so that the project will be able to move forward instead of be stopped. But I would like to offer a conceptual amendment, and that is at the end of line 4, after natural gas, put or propane, and that would be consistent with our previously adopted amendment.
No objection, Mr. Chair.
No objection. Is there any objection to that conceptual amendment? Well, very good. We will add that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'll curtail my remarks in the interest of time, but in the opening remarks of the maker of the amendment, he noted his desire to discuss openly and thoroughly the policy box that's being created, and also expressed a concern that we don't micromanage inside that box, and that's exactly what this amendment does. There are 6 reasons to oppose this amendment. The first is it'll cause substantial delay, particularly as you're dealing with the non-attainment status for the EPA in the interior region. Secondly, it will chill the private investment community as ADA works with members of the private investment community to carry forward, as we did on the North Slope project with a public-private partnership. The holders of that private capital will have no certainty as to if or when ADA will have access to the SB 23 funding tools that were provided and allow ADA to partner with private developers. Third, it undermines the statutory authority of the ADA board to make investment decisions based on ADA's well-established due diligence process and investment criteria. I would note there has not been a write-off of an ADA loan in a 12-year period. Fourth, it forces the Interior to get a second legislative authorization to expend the financing tools that were already authorized by the legislature in 2013. Fifth, it limits and potentially eliminates any potential North Slope project that ADA could currently finance by forcing ADA to seek legislative approval of any IEP project, not any Cook Inlet project. And finally, 6, it dramatically changes ADA's IEP role in the middle of developing the project. We're changing horses in the middle of the stream here. Make no mistake about it, the commitment that we all share to the Interior project is substantially delayed by this amendment. The legislature signed ADA this project, and in this amendment is moving to handcuff us from completing the assignment that we were given. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments? Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
Yes, objection is maintained. Okay, on amendment number 6 for committee substitute of House Bill 105, the objection is maintained. Julie, would you call the roll, please?
So this would be Amendment 6 as amended. Representative Olson?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
Pass.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Tarr?
No.
Representative Herron?
Yes.
Representative Hawker?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Co-Chair Nagiak?
Yes.
Co-Chair Tallarico?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
7 yay, 2 nay.
Representative Olson, I don't want to crowd into your time.
No, keep going.
Keep going? Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Olson. I appreciate that. Now we have amendment number 7.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Hawker.
Mr. Chair, sir, I move amendment number 7.
Thank you.
Object.
Thank you. There's an objection. Representative Hawker.
Mr. Chair, this amendment is really about my concern about keeping the state from a role of picking winners and losers in the marketplace. The amendment specifically prohibits ADA from negotiating and entering into a gas supply agreement unless that agreement or agreements are between ADA, an ADA-owned utility and a producer. Ergo, if ADA is successful in purchasing FNG and becomes a distributor, a local distribution company in Fairbanks, we absolutely know they need to be able to procure gas for that producer, or strike that, procure gas from a producer or a supplier in some way to make sure they have gas to distribute in the utility that the state is buying. However, the amendment before us is one that wants to make the statement, and I think it's very important, that we do not have ADA interfering in a gas market on behalf of the specific utilities that would be benefiting from the IEP project to the disadvantage of all those other public utilities that are out there competing in that marketplace for that same gas in the Cook Inlet, having to negotiate the same contracts with the same suppliers. Respectfully, the Cook Inlet, as much conversation has been had and giving the appearance today that the Cook Inlet gas market is this incredibly robust, strong, endless market that we had 40 years ago, respectfully, it's not. It's a very fragile market. It's a very fragile market depending on continued investment by smaller companies, not companies with huge deep pockets. It's a market that is very susceptible and sensitive to changes of policy the legislature might make in its tax structures or circumstances. So again, we don't want to have the heavy hand of government advocating, with all respect, on behalf of one group of consumers against and disadvantaging the other consumers. As we all know, one branch of government does in fact carry with it the weight of all the ability of other branches of government to bring their decision-making ability to coerce actions from the various either producers or players. With all respect, and I use the word, but it's not that ADA is going to go out there and intimidate sellers, but I can assure you that sellers are in fact intimidated because there are other state agencies that might well take a look at a decision they make and say, well, we're going to get even with you guys for making that decision. That is something we need to just keep from occurring. Now, and what this amendment does is it says, let the utilities negotiate on behalf of the utilities for their gas, keep government out of those negotiations so that we don't have any appearance of conflict or coercive activity between our various state agencies. It does, in fact, allow us to keep at everything we can possibly do to keep from damaging that fragile gas market in the Cook Inlet. And I would want to reemphasize again, this amendment, as with the previous amendment, nothing here precludes the utilities from the IEP from getting together, banding together, and being a collective marketing force into the Cook Inlet, bring their entire weight together, as opposed, but again, that weight should not include government providing extra weight for their negotiations against the other public utilities that have to compete in the same market. And that's all the amendment does, and I would appreciate your support, sir.
Thank you. Representative Seaton and then Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm trying to figure out how the on amendment number 6, we have a process that before the project plan goes forward, there has to be identified source of the natural gas, and yet they're precluded from negotiating any source of natural gas. So I guess the idea is that somebody else has to negotiate that and then come to ADA, and then ADA can try and put together a plan, project plan, to come to the legislature to get it approved. If I'm wrong in that, I'd like clarification.
Mr. Chair, I would clarify back. We don't know if this project is going to be totally owned by ADA or if, in fact, it is simply a project that was the ADA's role was to benefit the utilities. Well, it started out, it was just supposed to be benefiting the utilities. Then I came to the legislative session and I suddenly heard an announcement that said we're going to go out and start buying assets without any explanation of what had changed. So, again, there is absolutely nothing in this amendment that prevents a project from going forward that allows ADA to facilitate and help all of those utilities with the financing. Is what we're offering. We're offering financing for transactions that should be being put together by the utilities, not having the state of Alaska step in and decide we are going to become the
local distribution company procuring an asset literally from the producer all the way to the burner tip. Again, I don't think that's one that I want to blanketly give the authority to do. Now, if that is the project plan and it comes back to us in the project plan with the previous amendment constraints we put in, we get to make that decision. And if it's the right decision, so be it. But again, I'm still going under the premise that ADA is facilitating and aiding and helping our industry achieve success rather than stepping in and competing in the private sector. That's the whole point. ADA, we do not want them displacing private sector entities. I know of at least three entities, commercial entities, that have offered gas to the utilities in Fairbanks out of the Cook Inlet. I'm not so sure, well, shouldn't that be the one that the utilities have a chance to look at, those commercial private sector entities? Can the deal work? Then they go to ADA and say, can you help us with financing? Can you help us lower our cost of capital? What can you do to help us make this a viable project? That, in my opinion, is the role of ADA, not stepping in and owning projects. And we, with all respect, we heard that loans haven't been written off in 12 years. You know, that's really a good thing, because ADA has run an incredible portfolio of credit assistance, credit enhancement, making loans, enhancing credit. But we also have a horrible long history of when ADA steps in and starts owning physical assets, everything from clean coal plants to barley farms to fish plants, that we have had problems. And again, this amendment says, let's not go wholesale into owning the whole project unless we have made a decision as a legislator that's the right thing to do.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is for the maker of the amendment. I'm just trying to understand the previously adopted amendment sent out parameters in 4488-170 that require legislative approval before the authority may not purchase or acquire gas reserves or gas lease or become a working interest owner of natural gas. And then this amendment makes changes to that previously adopted section. And so I'm trying to figure out here, is this, these are supposed to both be requirements now, so that in Section C, the authority may not negotiate or enter into a gas supply contract with items 1 and 2, and then additionally, unless the authority has obtained legislative approval. Is that the intent here?
That is correct.
Any other questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, just close the amendment process, which we welcome and appreciate, and appreciate the dialogue we've held today. This amendment continues in the vein of the previous one and requiring legislative approval, which introduces great elements of delay. In the opening comments, the maker of the amendment noted that we didn't want to be picking losers and winners in the marketplace. Marketplace has picked those losers, and they are the citizens of Fairbanks. It's been over 50 years. I was at the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, and there was a front page newspaper, the Daily News Miner, on the wall from 1954 that said gas is coming to Fairbanks. It was propane, not liquefied natural gas. But we are 61 years past that date. The gas is still waiting. This project is as close as it's ever been to getting to achieve the goal. ADA has worked diligently to bring the project forward. This is a familiar restriction or micromanagement, and I just leave that as a closing comment from this perspective, that we're trying to do what the legislature asked us to do, and we'll continue to do so as we work forward together.
Thank you. Any other comments? Just the Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I was one of the 90,000 residents of the North Star Borough, I'd be really concerned about what we're doing here. I would express no confidence that the state as an entity is continuing to maintain the same objectives and the same goals. And I just would be really concerned about that, because I think we've just essentially neutered the agency. And I'm concerned.
Thank you. Any other comments? I guess one comment I would like to make is, as this process works forward, I think everyone needs to remember that we're not the end-all here at this committee level, especially. And we do have the advantage that many more people are actually going to see this and be working on it and continuing forward with it.
which I don't think is a bad thing at all, actually. I think it's a good thing. That's what our legislative process is all about. So I do appreciate that. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my concern is that we have gotten so into the restrictions on the ability to for this project to go forward that I don't think it's going to go forward. I don't think that the utilities will really be able to negotiate because they don't know where their partner is, where, you know, everything's got to come back before legislative approval, before there could be even any fund set up or anything else for equalizing those utility rates over time, the gas contracts and who's going to be able to do it. A project comes forward, but the project's not really an ADA project. It's a project from the utilities, but ADA's got to bring the project to us for approval before it can go forward. So I'm just not sure where it's going anymore. I think the complications are extreme.
Any other comments?
Yes, sir. And wrap up at
wrap
this
up,
point.
Please.
Again, I think there's been a mischaracterization about this amendment. And with all respect, this what we're talking about here are the big parameters of the box. This is not micromanaging inside the box. This is defining the box. The box is that government should not be messing in the marketplace. There is nothing in this amendment that should in any way and does in any way impede the utilities in Fairbanks from procuring gas for those utilities. Nothing. All it is saying is that we don't want the state negotiating those contracts on behalf of those utilities and unfairly advantaging them against other folks competing in the open market for that same gas. That's all we're saying. There is nothing in this amendment that should impede in any way, shape, or form a project that is what this is supposed to be, which is ADA exerting its role in providing assistance to the community of Fairbanks to get Fairbanks a local distribution structure around gas that is going to be able to be delivered at $15 per MCF at the burner tip. But I'm not so sure that any of us are quite buying into the fact that we want it to be the state that is carrying the entire burden of ownership of the project itself. We want it to be the local. We want self-determination. We want local control. I don't think we really want the state making Fairbanks its, putting it, you know, I guess, under a permanent protectorate of the state and ADA in order to meet these objectives. And that's really all this amendment's doing. So, I think that was a bit mischaracterized what this amendment does. It does not at all impede those utilities from negotiating gas.
Thank you. That's a wrap-up. Is the objection maintained?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the objection is maintained. Okay, on amendment number 7 for committee substitute for House Bill 105, Julie, could you call the roll?
Okay, amendment 7. Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative Tarr.
No.
Representative Herron?
Yes.
Representative Hawker?
Yes.
Co-Chair Nagiak?
Yes.
Co-Chair Tallarico?
Yes.
6 yay, 3 nay.
Thank you. Amendment number 7 passes. I have no other written amendments. At this time, I ask the committee if there are any further amendments, any incredibly brief comments from the committee.
The clock is running.
Thank you. Yeah, the clock is running. Before we get out of here, I think in the interest of time, and like I'd said before, our legislative process, I think, is very appropriate. We know that this moves on to other committees of referral. And I would like to move this bill, so I would like to entertain a motion that we move committee substitute for House Bill 105 from committee. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not going to object to the bill moving because I think it's so important, but I think what we did here today caused a lot of damage. And for anybody from Fairbanks watching, you know, I just want to express how uncomfortable I am with the limitations that have been put on here. especially following previous legislation that authorized ADA for $275 million to move forward on this project, and now sort of backtracking and on that initiative, and the any delay. I don't know how, as an interior representative, you're sitting through this committee hearing, because if I were in your seat, I'd be sick to my stomach and sending the wrong message to the people of Fairbanks in the interior, and they've certainly been disproportionately burdened by high energy costs, and I'm very disappointed in the actions that are taken today, but hopefully the bill will be improved as it goes.
Chair, I wasn't going to comment. I was going to let the bill pass, but that last comment requires a response. The allegation that we should, the interior of Alaska should be sick to its stomach over what we're doing in this committee is absolutely an inappropriate allegation. I think we should be discussing matters based on their merits. I think if we have an issue with specific points and facts, we should be talking about what those facts are, where we take issue with those facts, and not suggesting that there is a sickening character to anything that's being done here, because I assure you, and I look at my friend Senator Terrio. Senator Terrio and I have been through a lot in this building together, a lot of years. I have family in Fairbanks. Carlson Center in Fairbanks is named after my mother's, or excuse me, my wife's father. I understand the interior of Alaska. I want to see the right thing done for the interior of Alaska and not the wrong thing happen in our best efforts to do the right thing, and that is what we are about here today. Thank you.
So I would like to entertain a motion to move committee substitute for House Bill 105.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hocker.
Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Bill number 105, Energy, from committee with, as amended, with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note, which I believe on this one is still a zero fiscal note.
Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. House Bill 105 moves. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. This is adjourned.
Yeah, yeah.